Religious communities all over the country are coming to the realization that some of the most important religious holidays of the year will feel a lot different this time around. Easter is just around the corner for Christians, as is Passover for Jews and Ramadan for Muslims. And it's looking like those celebrations will have to largely happen online this year, as churches, synagogues, and mosques turn to live streaming services, Zoom gatherings, and phone calls to try to maintain their communities. But so much of religion is about community, and often it's about physically being together. So as religion moves online, what's lost, and just maybe what is gained? To talk more about that, I got a hold of Gaiman Bennett, a professor of religion, science, and technology at Arizona State University.
Well, I think maybe the first place to begin is to remember that religious communities are not experiencing anything different than what we're all experiencing, and the understanding of what's going on may be different in different religious contexts, but there's something quite primal about the moment that we're living in, where we're all simultaneously isolated, and yet we're living in this moment in which we've got these technologies. Here we are talking on a web-based platform that on one level connect us together, but we already knew long before we lived in the age of the coronavirus, we already knew that the experience of community online was not the same. In fact, in lots of studies, it shows that people feel more isolated and more divided.
Yeah.
And we know that social media can drive us into corners, and that builds online enclaves and the rest of it. It's a kind of sensory deprivation where just the presence of other people isn't the same. So just, you know, to pick one example that I think is something that's maybe familiar to all of us, my daughter, who's 9 years old, her name's Ruby. She wanted to do a play date with one of her dear friends who's a neighbor. And so we arranged for them to be out in front of the houses together and to play across the street. And Ruby cried.
Yeah.
She cried because she was glad to see her friend, but she wanted to touch her. She wanted to be near her. And the neighbor walked across the way about the same time, and I had this deep desire to run across the street and embrace her. It was primal. And so I think all of us are feeling this longing. And so whatever else religion is about, it's about community. And it's community in the human sense. We do things together because we belong to each other in a certain way. But it's not just human. I think in many religious traditions, there's the expectation that when you get together in your services or your rituals or your ceremonies, that something happens when you're together that doesn't otherwise happen. In that getting together, you touch something deep, something primal, even something cosmic or timeless. And so going online and meeting together online, you know, can we achieve the same sort of thing? And I think that the basic experience that lots of people have been having is that you cannot experience exactly the same thing.
This raises a lot of interesting questions for me, I think, about the nature of religion, because like you say, it is so much about community. There are lots of examples of this. Like in Catholic doctrine, it says that to participate in the sacrament of the Eucharist, it is physical. Like you have to physically eat the bread and drink the wine. I asked a Jewish friend about this. He said that there's a thing in Judaism when someone dies, you're supposed to say a prayer for them for a certain amount of time. In order to do that, though, there have to be at least 10 people there in the place, and that's not going to work right now. Daily prayers in Islam come to mind, people all doing it together, facing the same direction at the same time of day. I wonder, sort of, are there ways in which to adapt that to an online platform or to use technology to do those things, or is it just not possible because these things are like innately physical?
Yeah, what a good question. Yeah, there are ways of adapting it, but the adaptations aren't the same. And there's no reason to pretend they're the same. But that doesn't mean they're not good. I just, before talking to you, had a conversation with a friend of mine who's a priest about exactly this question. And he said, of course, to not be there, to not drink the wine and eat the bread or the equivalent in other traditions, of course, is different, because these experiences, these ceremonial experiences, these rituals are in the flesh. They're things we do together. It's about reality. And oftentimes, I think from the outside, it's easy to think of religious ceremonies or religious rituals as quote unquote merely symbolic. They just mean stuff. But I think when you're in those communities, you know that something's happening. But the little twist on the story that my friend pointed out to me was that it, you know, in that Eucharistic tradition, just to pick one example, there's always a kind of disproportion between the number of people in the room and what you think is going on more broadly as a result of the ceremony. There's always a small number of people who are gathering in order to connect to something bigger, something more eternal. There's something cosmic in the Eucharist or in the celebration of somebody's death, even in the grieving. There's a drawing near to the body that is about touching something deeply personal, but of course in a way that opens it up to realities that are bigger than the 10 people in the room. And so even if things are different online, it's not a new experience that a smaller gathering would nonetheless try to tap into something bigger than itself.
So let's talk a little bit about the ways in which religions are adapting. In Judaism right now, some rabbis are saying that it's okay to use Zoom for Passover seders that are coming up. And, you know, we have a tradition in this country that, like, we've had televangelism in this country for a very long time. So in some ways, this is adaptable and not entirely new either. What do you think about sort of the long tradition of that side of it?
Yeah, wow. I haven't talked to anybody who thinks this is a bad idea. So even on a computer, there's still something worth doing there. But the big pragmatic problem really seems to be the generational divide. So you've got people in your community who don't even have computers. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the other question, though, about the long history of televangelists in America. For good or for bad, we've used technology to get the word out and to connect with people. I remember when I was a kid seeing a televangelist that said, if you wanted to be healed, put your hands on the television screen. Mm-hmm. There is a little kernel of wisdom in that moment that we needed some sense of connection. Even if it's as simple as putting your hands on the screen, you know, there's still a kind of materiality to it. And so we make do, and we trust, I think people in religious communities trust that the reason they do all of these things is bigger than them and is bigger than the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And so even these small gestures at adaptation might nonetheless get us connected with something bigger than ourselves at a time in which we're feeling very isolated.
So last question for you then. So much of religion, as you're mentioning here, is about tradition. So what happens to people's connection and understanding of their own religion and their own faith when those traditions are either broken or forced to change?
This is something I've been thinking about a lot. You know, I'm a professor of religious studies, and there's this idea in religious studies that religion is a lived religion. Religion isn't just about the beliefs. It isn't just about the scriptures. It isn't just about the ceremonies. It's about a way of life that we live together. And so lived religion has always been one part inspiration and one part history, in which the circumstances of our lives deeply sculpt our experience. And so here we are in the middle of this growing pandemic as a kind of possession takes hold of our collective experience. And it will change us all and our communities. It'll change us, I think, in some ways for the better. For my daughter to look across the street and to love her friend so deeply. Mm-hmm. Like, that changes us. That reminds us of what matters. But I also fear that it'll change us in ways that are maybe not so fortuitous, you know, that we'll develop habits of isolation that will be harder to recover from, that we'll see the centralization of communication and power in ways that in the long run corrodes our common sense of freedom. And so I think being vigilant in these times in which on the one hand, we recognize that these mediated tools, these digital technologies, these online platforms give us something that's good and that allows us to be together in ways, but that we should hold on to the longing for this stuff to be behind us, that we should long for the day when we don't have to use these technologies as the main part of our social connection. Our kids can run across the street and hug their friends.
All right, that is Professor Gaiman Bennett, Professor of Religion, Science, and Technology at ASU. Thank you so much, Gaiman, for coming on.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.